I hope you're feeling refreshed after a good night's sleep as we move into our third day of retreat together. And I was reflecting this morning as I looked out. It's another soft grey day, a little bit of refreshing rain landing on the soil, nourishing the plants. And I was reflecting how, on this retreat anyway, we're all experiencing different weather. So some of you might be in bright, clear blue sky sunshine, warm. And some of you may be in a place that's cooler. There might be fog or wind or rain. I heard that the northern parts of the country are going to experience quite some wind today. And isn't that just the way it is for all of us, that we're all experiencing different internal weather as well? So for some of us, there's the warm-heartedness of loving kindness. For others, there's the cool steadiness of equanimity. Some may have quite some storms going through. Some of us may be feeling quite foggy and dull. And we can see these as just the weather patterns that are passing through. And so here we are on day three, and you may find that you're beginning to settle a little bit into this form, into this practice. And so, what I'd like to offer today in the meditation instructions is to include the second foundation of mindfulness, which is feeling tone, or Vedana in Pali. And we can notice just how powerfully our experience is conditioned by this particular feature of every experience. So every experience has a feeling tone. Everything we see, hear, feel, or do is either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral in some degree. And so this is the second foundation of mindfulness, feeling tone, to just notice that quality of each experience. And this is such an important foundation to take up. You can understand why the Buddha taught it as a separate foundation. Because our habit is to react unconsciously to that feeling tone of each experience. When we have pleasant experiences, usually our habitual reaction is that we like them. We'd like them to go on longer and we'd like more. We certainly don't usually want for them to end. So there can be pleasant experiences can condition a kind of grasping or wanting, or holding on to. a condition, what's called desire. And unpleasant experiences, so maybe a sore knee or a sore back, a contracted chest. Generally, our response to unpleasant experiences is that we don't like them. We push them away. We often get entangled with them, trying to figure them out, figure out why they've happened and how to get rid of them. And if they stay too long, sometimes our reaction can be anxiety. Oh no, this is going to last forever. So they condition unpleasant experiences, tend to condition aversion. And the neutral experiences, they're actually really interesting. Neutral experiences, our response is that we're simply not that interested. They're not doing anything for us, so we just don't pay much attention. And maybe there's a sense of boredom and we just space out. And there might even be the feeling of, well, why doesn't something happen? Anything might be better. And I'll say a little bit more about neutral feeling tone in a minute. So this particular aspect of our experience, the feeling tone, when we don't notice it, it tends to lead us to get lost in reactivity. And when we notice it, then we have the possibility of not following that pathway of reaction, grasping, resisting, disconnecting even. One area that the feeling tone shows up quite clearly is in our experience of body. And so we can extend today to start to notice when we experience sensations in the body, what the feeling tone is. And we can start to notice what our relationship is to those sensations of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So with the pleasant, we usually have no problem experiencing the pleasant. It's quite familiar. You think about the warmth of a fire, sitting next to the fire. And there can be a feeling that we could just stay here all day like this. And yet at some point we will have to leave to go to work, to go to the meditation, to go to bed. Wherever it is, we'll encounter something difficult that we don't want to encounter. So there can both be a feeling of not wanting to leave the pleasant, but of anticipation of something less pleasant. And so if we're experiencing something pleasant, then it's really good to enjoy it while it's there. You know, we don't have to, this practice isn't about not enjoying things when they're there. But when it leaves, to just let go and allow the next thing to arise. And what we can notice is that when it ends, when the pleasant ends, and there's that clinging to something which has the nature of impermanence, the nature to change, we can notice how that leads to dukkha. So there's a good analogy for this, which is, it's a little bit like if you're holding onto a rope and the rope is moving, what happens? You get rope burn. So So, not holding on to things that move. And the neutral, as I said before, the neutral is really interesting. The Buddha pointed out that when we don't pay attention to the neutral, it tends to become unpleasant for us. So, we might, if we think about the breath as something fairly neutral, you might experience your breath as pretty ordinary, perhaps even boring, not very interesting. And it's quite hard to stay with because if we're unconscious of that neutral quality, then it can start to feel like something we don't want to have to be with. That boring feeling can tend to become an active disinterest, a wish to engage, disengage, a wish for something else, and then we can find ourselves pulling away. And when we pay attention to the boring, so for example, again with the breath, as we attune more fully to the breathing and become more stable, what was neutral can become quite pleasant, quite sweet and delicious, in fact. So we can notice that as our attention settles into the experience, the actual quality of the attention can infuse the experience, can affect the experience. And likewise, we can notice that thinking and being lost in it, which is often the place that we go when we disengage, pull away, thinking and being lost in it can actually be quite unpleasant. There's tension there when we look in the body. And so the third category of unpleasant. So if there's unpleasant, can we allow it and open to it? And I think it's really interesting to notice that dukkha is not in the thing itself. So, what I mean by this, if I give you an example, hands up if you like chocolate. Okay, most people like chocolate. If you don't like chocolate, think of something else that you really like, that you really like to eat. And, we whatever that is, chocolate, pizza, whatever. We like eating chocolate and we experience eating chocolate as pleasant. But what happens if we keep eating the chocolate? At some point, that chocolate becomes quite unpleasant. The pleasant and unpleasant is not necessarily inherent in the thing itself. And in particular form of unpleasant, of pain. Pain is a natural part of the human experience. So no human body is free of the experience of pain. It's part of the nature of body to experience both pleasure and pain. And so, when we come into the body and we notice that there's unpleasant sensations, I think it's useful to just think a little about what those can be due to and unpack them. So, sometimes pain can be due to our unfamiliar posture. We may not be used to sitting cross-legged on the floor as I am, or in a chair at any rate. We may not be used to sitting unmoving for a period of time, 45 minutes in this case. And so we might think that it's this unfamiliar posture, or staying still in the posture that causes the pain. And certainly if our bodies are not used to this, there can be some tiring over time. But just like the chocolate, if we sit in a comfy chair, comfy armchair, for long enough, we'll experience pain. And if we lie on a very comfortable mattress, not moving for long enough, we end up with bed sores. It's very painful. The Buddha made an interesting comment about this. He said the pain of the body is disguised by the postures. What does he mean by that? He means that when we keep moving in response to unpleasant sensation, we disguise the nature of the body to experience pleasure and pain. If we keep moving, we don't really have to experience it. And that's fine until such time as we encounter the kinds of pain that we can't adjust our way out of. So we can find that there's no ultimate position that we can move into, in which we find that we can reside. Meditation gives us the opportunity to be still in the face of discomfort, not to have to be constantly shuffling, constantly wriggling from our experience, from our life. And the second place where we experience pain can be if we've experienced an injury. And so I would say that if you've experienced an injury, then to bring a real gentleness and care and respect to the body around that. It might need to change the posture mindfully and with compassion and care, and including that movement in our practice. So bringing that sense of loving kindness if there's an injury. In another place that strong, intense, unpleasant sensations can arise in the body is to do with our emotional life and our relationship to that. So sometimes it can be due to emotions that we're unable to acknowledge or experience directly. And then we have a tendency to contract in reaction to that. And over time, those emotional knots can become deeply ingrained into solidity, into tension. And when we start to open to the body in our meditation practice, sometimes we start to uncover these. Can we see that as actually something very positive? Something which was deeply buried is now visible, available. There's an opportunity here. So we have an opportunity to open to painful experience. And one of the things that we can notice that happens when we engage with pain or unpleasant experience is that we have a tendency to go off into the mind to try and figure it out. We have our story about it, why it's there, how it started, how long it's going to go on. And can we see if we can just let go of those stories and ideas and that need to figure it out and understand and just be with it? discover our habitual reaction to it. And if we do engage with the story, one of the things that we can see is that it's not usually helpful. It often intensifies the pain or feeds it. So the invitation here is to begin to open to the experience of what we call pain, to be clear, to see the sensations that we don't find pleasant or easy to be with, to see what they are, maybe sharp or tight or hot, cold, throbbing, piercing, however they are, just knowing them. We tend not to like it and we don't want to feel it. But pain is actually an invitation to attend. And we may notice that some unpleasant sensations are not harmful or dangerous, like that itch on your nose. It's not ever going to do harm. But the urge to scratch can be very strong, can't it? If we stay with the itch, we can notice that it's really uncomfortable. We really want to scratch. And then we can notice at some point it fades away. And we can also notice with unpleasant sensations how we add a concept. We add the concept of pain. We put this label on it, pain. You can notice what that does when we do that. And pain is just a concept. It's actually just an unpleasant sensation, which is variations on a theme of heat and cold and pressure, usually, at an uncomfortable level. So, seeing if we can not get lost in those ideas, but stay with the direct experience. Can I feel into it? Take interest in the experience itself, and what gives it such power in my life? We explore the center of it, the edges of it. Is it really as solid as we think? Or is it fluid and changing? And as I said last night, we might ask ourselves why, you know? I can just move, right? What's wrong with that? But here we're cultivating non-reactivity and we're developing our capacity to be with discomfort. There'll be a time when we can't avoid that. But there's also other benefits. So, as I said before, with pain, our tendency is to contract around it, to tighten around it. We actually can notice that we tighten the muscles around it. And our practice there is to just give it space, to soften and relax. The out-breath can be really helpful. Breathing out into the region of pain and inviting the contraction to release. I had a really good example of this in my own practice. I have a tendency to get headaches, and the headaches are due to tension in the vascular tension. And when I contracted all the muscles around that area where the headache was, it wasn't possible for something to flow, the energy to flow. The blood, maybe, I don't know. And just releasing that and being willing to soften into that, I could actually feel That movement of the pain becoming more diffuse, being able to spread out until it went. Another example, I was on retreat in India some years ago with a German woman, and she told the story of 14 years before having been assaulted by a police officer in a protest that she was participating in. And as a result of that, she'd sustained a back injury. And the back injury had actually healed. But regardless of that, she hadn't been able to sleep on her back since that time. It was too painful. And during the retreat, she was practicing loving kindness and compassion. And at one point, she offered this towards the police officer who had assaulted her. And she offered compassion towards this tension, this pain that she was experiencing. And when she did that, this knot of pain dissolved. She'd been holding it for 14 years. And that night, for the first time in 14 years, she was able to sleep on her back. It's pretty amazing. And that doesn't mean that when you allow yourself to open to pain, that it's going to go. We don't know what will happen. So, taking an interest, but with no aim of getting a result, and just to experiment. So, sometimes we need to back off a bit and give it space. Not turning away, but just opening the attention to include a little more. And there's a lovely analogy here of if you put salt into a cup of water, and you put a teaspoon of salt into a cup of water, that cup of water tastes quite salty, right? But if we put the teaspoon of salt into a lake where it can spread out, the taste is not nearly so unpleasant. So when we offer that space, that wide receptive light awareness, it sometimes gives us enough balance to be able to handle it for a little while. And at some point, it might be enough. So it's important to notice our capacity, and then we might move. But sometimes we're able to stay right with it and to explore and feel like what it's like in that place. So, in working with unpleasant sensations, it's important to bring a kind, compassionate awareness, holding ourselves with loving kindness, not forcing ourselves or gritting our teeth or grinning and bearing it, but bringing some curiosity. Is there something to understand here? Sense of inquiry. And we can err too on the side of gentleness. So it's actually helpful to move our posture before it gets to the point of being excruciating. We don't have to go to that edge. And that way we can relax because we know that we can move if we really need to. That really helps us to be able to be with the painful experience. So, in terms of working with pain, we can think of there being maybe four steps. So, opening to it and feeling it. breathing into it or breathing out of it, expanding the awareness, feeling other areas of the body, including pain and that sense of space, and then move. So another benefit of pain is that it calls us to presence. Have you noticed that? It's much harder for the mind to wander off when pain is present. And I'm not suggesting that you go and stick a pin into yourself to keep you present for the whole 45 minutes. There's enough unpleasantness just comes naturally by itself, isn't there? We can also notice what makes pain hard to bear. And one of the things that's often there is what I call futuring. So we're going off into the future with our pain, telling ourselves that it's going to be unbearable. But it's just here now. Is it unbearable now? Can we bear it now? So when we come into presence with it, often we're more able, we have more capacity to be with it. It's also useful to notice what's not painful. So as I talked about yesterday, where the attention can be wide or it can narrow right in, there's a tendency with unpleasant sensations to just narrow right in on them. Nothing else exists. So we can notice when we widen that lens, what is not painful? Are there other sensations that we're perhaps missing? And Jill did this lovely exploration of that the other day. We can also notice that pain moves, so it changes. It's easy to have the idea when there's pain or unpleasant sensations that it's always present. So we can notice the presence of pain and we can notice its absence. And we tend not to notice when pain is absent. Can we notice its absence as well? And I'd actually like to read to you a piece from a talk that Ajahn Sachito gave. And this is quite old, it's from 1991. And he was on pilgrimage in Bodh Gaya in India. And it's a whole astonishing story, actually. I'll tell you a little bit of the story. So the story was he was on pilgrimage in India with an attendant, and he was visiting the important places in the Buddha's life. And the area around Bodh Gaya, where the Buddha woke up, is actually quite a dangerous area. There's a lot of bandits, and there's, they regularly stop buses and rob people, and it's really a dangerous area. And anyway, he was walking through this area, and he was set upon by a group of bandits, and his attendant ran away, but Ajahn Sachito was caught by these bandits, and he was, trying to take his monk's bag off and just hand over what little possessions he had. And as he was doing that, things were becoming increasingly tense and increasingly fraught, and the bandits were afraid and frightened, and one of them had an axe, and he lifted the axe. He was going to bring it down on Ajahn Sachito's head. And Arjan Sachito just, without hesitation, instantly, he just put his head forward and he indicated the back of his neck with his finger. And it just completely blew apart the situation. These bandits, they couldn't do it. They ran away. They just ran away and left him there. I think that's an astonishing story. Anyway, Ajahn Sachito, then when he arrived in, well, shortly before that actually, when he was in Bodh Gaya, he came to the Thai temple where an insight meditation retreat was going on, and he gave a talk. And as part of his talk, he talked about working with pain. And this is what he had to say. I had many years ago this particular pain in my right shoulder, and I'd sit feeling righteous, be with the pain, that'll do it, being with the pain, being with the pain. It's not working, you know. Maybe it'd be sensible. I probably need to do some yoga. That's it. That's it now. That's got it. No, it's not. Cushions. One cushion, two cushions. Three cushions, maybe some kind of slight angling, maybe towards the right buttock, the left buttock. Okay. Doctor, you've got to help me. Chiropractor, must be the posture. Perhaps if I sit with a book on my head, leaning back. Nothing. 5 years of this pain. I have an extremely active, ingenious mind. It tried to find every possible way to wriggle out of the fact that pain hurts and I don't like it. Pretty obvious truth, and yet I hadn't actually come to that. I hadn't actually accepted what one glosses over in a few words. I don't like pain. Instead, I acted on I don't like pain. I hadn't actually examined the experience of not liking pain. I tried to say, well, you should like pain. Pain is good for you. Or, pain is bad. Make it go away. But I hadn't really looked into, I do not like. And then one day I was sitting in meditation and I thought, this is it, the showdown. I'm going to sit here for 5 hours and I'm going to get over this thing. Pain, pain, wriggle. Why did you say that? 5 hours. After all, middle way. And then the hours are going by, three. And after about 4 or so hours of this pain, my mind had been through all the various circuits of be nice to it, be friendly with it, kill it. And it came back to, oh God, this pain. And finally, the mind just lost it. It got tired out, I guess. Eventually, ignorance does get tired after a while. It has to take a break from being ignorant. And so instead of ignoring and repressing it, I actually opened to it. Without the let's open to it to make it go away, or let's open to it and that'll make me go into some kind of cosmic space, but just, oh, all right. And then I began to see this sensation throbbing away. And it began to appear in my mind as a kind of glowing light, throbbing, tearing, a tearing experience. And then, because of the choiceless attention to it, I began to notice, well, there's that. And then there's this terrible kind of no, no, no feeling going on, resistance. And then with that, a whole lot of bitterness towards the body, towards the pain. Oh, pain. I don't like it. Shouldn't happen to me. Why is it happening to me? What did I do? I'm sitting here trying to be peaceful. Pain, go away. And this kind of moaning, wheedling mind. And as I contemplated my relationship to this sensation, it became clear that there was nothing I could do with the sensation, but I could stop beating it with my mind. And I began to have this experience of deep regret for all the beatings and all the kickings that this mind had imposed upon this body, upon itself, upon its thoughts, telling it to shut up, telling it to be this way. And I felt that this whole system was like some mangy dog that has never really been loved. It's just been told what to do and beaten. And in fact, this vision arose in my mind of this dog, this mangy, hungry dog, looking at me, saying, "How long are you going to keep beating me for?" And I felt this sense of deep regret that there should be so much intolerance and hardness towards life. And in my mind's eye, something in me reached out to this creature and started to pat it, saying, "Please forgive me." And all this happened in a very few moments. This creature turned into a cartoon dog, and we were dancing. This pain, we were dancing, me and the pain. And then the whole thing just kind of exploded, very gently. And then the pain seemed to disappear. It seemed to say, "Thank you, finally. I've been knocking on the door for 5 years. Thank you for opening. Thank you for recognizing the problem was I do not like, I will not accept, I will not open to you." And that once you open to, the lesson's been learned, business is finished. And then he goes on to say, as soon as I say that, I realize people are going to think, "That's how you do it." And then you'll have the same 5 years of saying, "It doesn't work, I don't see why." Because the truth is, in fact, there is no real learning on this intellectual level, is there? There is only a kind of learning that we have to have that humility to recognize that really, the learning point is when we go to the edge of where we can control, and the nobility of our life says, keep going past where you can't control anymore and trust. And for me, this is the heart of devotion, of faith, of surrender. That it's not a surrender of responsibility, but a profound recognition of what the responsibility of this being is to live in accordance with truth, to honor truth, and to trust the truth of our life just as it is. I find that incredibly inspiring. I don't know how long he'd been a monk by then, but it was quite a long time. It still took him 5 years. So let's not beat ourselves about our practice either. So, in our practice today, sometimes there might be a sensation that draws our attention, perhaps something painful or something pleasurable to delight in. And we can simply notice this. We can notice the feeling tone, I can notice the movement of mind in response to that feeling tone. Or can we just experience the pleasant sensation as a pleasant sensation? The unpleasant sensation as an unpleasant sensation? Opening to it without adding anything to the experience. And if there's no strong sensation, just receiving what comes, feeling the stillness as we sit, when nothing is predominant, returning to the whole body, to the flow of breathing within that, steady, receptive, soft. So let's take a couple of minutes to stretch, give our bodies a break, and then we'll come back and sit together.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.